This morning, interesting topic. Build yourselves up. There's a reason for this that I am ministering this topic this morning because of the environment we are in and also what's happening all around the world. I'll refer to two news blasts that I received or two news things that I received, and that just coincides with what I am ministering to you on this morning. Build yourself up. When I use that word or that phrase, build yourself up, it's responsibility. The responsibility is not on me. The responsibility is on you. I am called, Heaven, I'm called here to equip the saints. That's you, believe it or not. Sometimes you may not act like a saint, but you're a saint. We need to equip you to do good works. And that is also for the body to be strong in the Lord. But your spiritual growth is not dependent on me. It's dependent on you. Each of us must build ourselves up in the Lord. And then when you look at Jude 1:20, and this is where it came from, but you, beloved, writing this letter, and we'll elaborate a little on the letter later on. We elaborate on Jude a little bit as well. But you, beloved. So do you recognize yourself as beloved? I'll tell you what. Let's go back to the old King James, because King James also uses that word. You can turn to somebody, and I would like you to do it this morning, just for fun, okay? Turn to somebody right next to you and say, good morning, beloved. Now, don't hit on somebody, okay? You're not hitting on anybody. This is beloved. Now, that's the first time some women have ever heard their husbands tell them that. But you, beloved, build yourselves up. But you've got to build yourselves up based on something. What is that something? Founded, and this is the amplified version, amp, founded on your most holy faith. Your faith in Jesus Christ, or the message of the gospel. Build yourself up on the message, the foundation of the gospel. So you've got to learn what the gospel's all about, experience it, a new creation, and build yourself on the most holy faith. Build yourselves up. But notice what it says. What's in parentheses? Make progress. Now that's where you come in. Stop, evaluate. Since you've accepted Christ, what progress have you made? What progress have I made? I've got to evaluate that, guys. You've got to evaluate that, because this is the individual thing. Yes, we grow corporately, but we also grow individually. And the individual growth is not on a Sunday only. The individual growth is every single day of your lives. On your most holy faith, make progress. Rise like an edifice, higher and higher. So you go on stronger and stronger. And the Bible actually uses the phrase, until you reach maturity. Praying in the Holy Spirit. There's a great topic to debate. What's that? Praying in tongues? Praying in the power of the Holy Spirit? Praying according to the direction of the Holy Spirit? But let's look at Jude. Who is Jude? He was the younger brother of James. Who is James? The half-brother of? Jesus. So we look at him this morning as the half-brother of Jesus. But what was the relationship with James, Jude, Jesus' other brothers, Jesus' sisters? Because there's a theory or there's a belief out there that Jesus never had brothers and sisters. Well, the Bible contradicts that. So let's look at Mark 6 verse 3, where folks were listening to Jesus, but they just couldn't gel with him. It didn't make sense what he was saying. And this was their kind of excuse for what Jesus was saying. He's just a carpenter. Can a carpenter have such truth? Can he proclaim to be the Messiah? Look at, he's just a carpenter, the Living Bible translation. Mary's boy. boy, Mary's baby boy, brother of James, Joseph, Judas, Simon, and he is what? Sister. So did he have brothers and did he have sisters? The Bible says so. And his sisters live right here among us. And they were what? They didn't say, go Jesus, go, tell it to us. Nope. People were offended by the teaching of Jesus Christ. They did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah, and they did not believe what he was proclaiming. Like all of us, before we got born again, we weren't into giving our lives to Jesus, and then something happened. Well, something happened to Jude as well, and to James. Let's go to John 7, verse 5. For even his brothers didn't believe him. Imagine that, living in the same household. That's chaos. They didn't believe him. I don't know what was said amongst themselves. They may have thought he's a lunatic because he's proclaiming stuff that was beyond their understanding and they couldn't comprehend it. It was all spiritual for them and they were in darkness spiritually. So even his brothers didn't believe in him or didn't believe what he was saying. Now here's the thing, let's play devil's advocate. Did the sisters believe him then? Because it only says the brothers. What do you think? Why? They're smart. All right, you've got to sort that theological problem out, not me. But something happened with the brothers, the sisters, after Jesus' resurrection. They've heard him speak, they've listened to him, they didn't believe in him, but yet his family. And then all of a sudden, we find something in Acts chapter 1, verse 14. They all met together after the resurrection. They all met together and were constantly united in prayer. Notice the terminology. Along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women and, oh well, now we go. Where were the sisters? Where were the sisters? They were smart, right? No. We're playing games over here. But notice the difference from not believing in him to now, after the resurrection, united in prayer with his mother Mary, several other women. Something happened. Their life had changed. What was the purpose then of this letter? And that's where we're going to get into it a little bit this morning because I believe it's something that's going to help all of us in the age in which we are living. The purpose of the letter was to warn Jude's readers. We do not have enough evidence as to who the letter was written to. We do not know if it went to a particular church. The letters were circulated the same as Paul's letters. So we do know that it was sent out to various groups and they read the letter. But it was to warn the readers of the apostates, people that have come in with false doctrines. And that's where we are today. A tremendous amount of false doctrines are permeating churches today. And it's going to get worse, folks, because the Bible says there's going to come a point in time when people don't want to hear hard stuff. They want their ears to be tickled. In other words, they want to feel good all the time by the teaching of the preacher. So he was warning the readers that apostates were already on the scene. In other words, people that had abandoned their faith, but have somehow, like the prodigal son almost, came back into the churches, permeated the churches, and said, come on guys, there's more to what you think there is. This is not the whole truth. I'm going to reveal something more to you. And the whole thing was through the letter, and you'll find the whole description within the chapter of Judas. Only one chapter in any case. 20-something verses, I think. It's close, 28, somewhere around there. It's a short book, so I'd like you to read the book. Because within that book, within that chapter, he even shows you the thinking, the belief of these people that have come in and permeated the church as an undercurrent in the church. The apostates are on the scene already. They've abandoned their faith. They fell away. But these guys came in and were now creating divisions. And the divisions was the different doctrine that was presented to the assembly, to the gathering of the saints. Creating divisions and living a life that was contrary to what was laid out in Scripture. And this is how Jude describes the situation in Jude 1:4. The Amplified Version. But we'll go to verse 1, a servant of Jesus. Notice that, a servant of Jesus. But this is amazing, folks. How I find the transition to be phenomenal. The man that rejected Jesus, notice what he calls himself now. Jude, a what? A servant. A servant of Jesus Christ the Messiah. And the brother of James. So both of them, half-brothers of Jesus Christ. Writes this letter to those who are called, chosen, dearly loved by God the Father, and separated, set apart, and kept for Jesus Christ. Now, this whole thing happened about 20 years after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So 20 years, plus minus 20 years, and all of a sudden, these folks come and infiltrate the church with different doctrines. Do we have 1 verse 4? I'm not too sure if we've got 1 verse 4. I say this because some, notice, godless. Were they always godless? No, they weren't. They are godless teachers has done what? Were they recognizable initially? No. No. False prophets are also not recognizable easily when they come into churches. That's why it's essential for you, me, to build ourselves up in the faith. It's essential in the Word of God. They have wormed their way in among you, saying that after we become Christians, we can do what? Is that true? Who says? Who says? Can't I just do? I can do as I please. I'm in charge of my destiny. No, in reality, no. I can't make that statement. I can do as I please. Because the Bible emphatically states you were bought with a price. So if you and I were bought with a price, and that price is the blood of Jesus Christ, then that means somebody owns me, and the person that owns me is the person that bought me. So then I can't do as I please. Why not? I've got to listen to the boss. He's the boss. They are saying that after we become Christians, and this is how they've wormed their way. And you will notice, whenever people worm their way into any place, they're always sweet. Wow, they are nice Christians. And then they systematically start telling you certain things that are contrary to the Word of God. And after they worm their way among you, saying that after you become Christian, you can do just as you like without, notice, fear of God's punishment. Wow. The fate of such people was written long ago. Because if you don't stay within the parameters that God has set, there's consequences. For they have turned against our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, Plain and simple language, they are promoting something that is not gospel. They are promoting something that does not line up with the Word of God. They are promoting some teachings that contradicts the Word of God. But guess what? It sounds very nice. Because it would be nice then to do the ugly stuff I used to do that now that I'm a Christian, God doesn't want me to do, but I really enjoyed that stuff before I was a child of God. Now you can do it without any repercussions. With this in mind, with this strategy of these people coming and permeating the church, Jude then writes the letter. And the letter he wrote was not the first intent of the letter. He was going to write something else. In Jude chapter 3, New King James Version, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation," notice the common salvation, Jesus Christ, "I now find it necessary to write to you," doing what? "Exhorting you." Exhorting you. Wow. Exhorting you. What is exhorting? It sounds exhausting. Urging. Spur on. It goes a little deeper than that. "I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith." Not your faith in Christ, but the belief of the gospel. To go according to the word of God. "For the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints." You became born again. And now I want you to preach your experience. Exhort in the Greek language was used to describe a general giving orders to the army. Hence, the atmosphere of this letter is virtually military. I exhort you. It's a military command almost. Jude had started to write a quiet devotion letter about salvation. But he changed it. And now he's saying, "I'm calling you to arms, for this is serious." I was going to write something different. But this is important, and that's why I'm exhorting you. I'm calling you to arms because of these weasels that have come in and is permeating the church with doctrine that is not of Jesus Christ. Very important to know that. Every child of God must understand the value of this. If we look at the Message translation in Jude 1:3, it says, "Dear friends, I've dropped everything to write you about this life of salvation. What it's about, what it's meant to you, what it's going to do for you, the results of it that we have in common. I have to write, insisting," what? Begging that you fight with everything you have. Folks, get ready. The church is already being permeated with false doctrines. The church is being permeated with teachings that is contrary to the word of God. And more so, there's a wave of teaching coming into the church of Jesus Christ now that is dividing the churches throughout the country, in particular, our country. But I'm going to show you at the end two exotic things. Now that you fight with everything you have in you for this faith, where did this faith come? Entrusted to us as a gift to God and cherished. In other words, the gift of salvation must be cherished. Why? Because a price was paid, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. And reading what he says, that you must fight with everything within you to maintain your faith in God, now you can cherish Jude 1:20. But you, beloved, build yourselves up, founded on your most holy faith. In other words, I want you to make progress. I don't want you to be stagnant. I don't want you to stand still. Where the water is stagnant, mosquitoes grow. You don't want stagnant water. You don't want a stagnant life. Because all kinds of doctrines can come into your head via people. Every single Christian needs to assume responsibility for their own spiritual growth. Pause, take a deep breath. I'll ask a question. What plan have you made for your spiritual growth? What's your agenda? I'm going to ask questions. You don't answer. Have you got a daily reading plan? A daily Bible reading plan? Do you read and study the Word daily? Because remember, folks, we are in a world that demands all the time. So when you go on vacation, you prepare for that vacation. Are we preparing ourselves to fight the battle during our Christian lifetime? In other words, how much time is spent in the Word of God to educate us as to the battle plan? I need to know. I need to know what He wants. I need to know how I must go about it. So ask yourself the question. I have a responsibility, and I assume responsibility for my own spiritual growth. What's your plan? Think about it. What's your plan? Do you just turn on the radio and listen to the guys on the radio? Or can you say this morning, I read the Word every single day, and there's topics that I study? Well, I haven't got time. Well, evaluate the time you listen on the radio or you watch television or spend on the phone. Time is in your hands. Time's in my hands. And they always say the busiest man has got the most time. So I want you to assume responsibility for your own strength, for your own growth. Start a plan today. I'm going to study the Word. I'm going to read it. I'm going to study it. I'm going to explore the Word. Why must I do it? It prepares me for battle. Because Paul says our fight is not against what? Not against flesh and blood. So stop fighting with each other. Yet people do, but that shows us how carnal we are at times. If we do not assume responsibility for our own spiritual growth, the results are inevitable. What are the results? If I do not grow, what are the results? What do you think? Backslide? Ignorant? Stagnant? But what's the results? Easily deceived. Why will you be easily deceived? You don't know. Satan can influence your mind. If you don't grow, how can you know what to do? The sad thing is, evidence of ignorance and evidence of Christians not growing is evident in the Word of God. And Paul highlights some of the stuff for us. I'm going to give you three scriptures. 1 Corinthians 3 verses 1, 2, and 3. So if we do not assume responsibility for our spiritual growth. Now, when we use spiritual growth, you must then start from the fact that you were born again, you're a baby. Would you agree with that? When you ask Jesus to be your life, and you say, Jesus, I'm a sinner, forgive me of my sins, and from this moment onwards, I want to follow you. The Bible says you're born again, and you are a baby. So that's why when we speak of spiritual growth, you must grow from a baby. And the question then would be, how long does it take you from a baby to maturity? We don't know. We don't know. Lifelong? But many people, unfortunately, the majority of Christians stay where? Baby. Baby. But if that's the case, and let's assume that is the fact, that the majority of Christians remain babies. We just don't have enough diapers for all these babies. Nor Depends, because you've got elders that are still babies. We just don't have enough. We just cleaned the school out. There's nothing more there. Dear brothers, I have been talking to you as though you were still just babies in the Christian life. Is it wrong to be a baby? No. It happens. I'm a baby when I got born again. But I'm no longer a baby because I had a plan. You were still babies, just babies in the Christian life, who are not following the Lord. So what do babies do? They don't follow the Lord's instructions. But what do they follow? Their own desires. So is that in contradiction to what God wants? Yes. He wants us to follow His desires. But we are still defaulting to before we were born again and following our own desires. And then, of course, it comes up with the following statement, and he says, I cannot do what? I cannot talk to you as I would to healthy Christians who are filled with the Spirit. Verse 2, I'm showing you the result and the consequences if you don't have a plan of action to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're losing out. I have had to feed you with milk. Milk is nice every now and then. Oh, a chocolate milkshake? Oh, man. Have you ever had a lime milkshake? I don't know. They don't have it here. In South Africa, we always had lime milkshake. So I went and bought a whole juice the other day that you mix with the ice cream. And we have our own lime milkshake. By the way, we are selling it for $2 a piece if you want a milkshake. I have had to feed you with milk and not solid food. Did they have the option? I don't know why. What's going on over here? Did they have the option of getting solid food? Yeah, they had the option. But they chose to stay on milk. So, question, where are you? And this is not in a derogative way. This is to bring us to attention. Where are you? Are you still on milk? How long are you going to stay on milk? Or are you going to transition to solid food? I've had to feed you with milk and not with solid food. Why not? You couldn't digest it. You couldn't handle it. You're not making sense to me. No. I love to do what I want to do. But you can't do that because you've been crucified with Christ. Now you're going to do what Christ wants you to do. Yeah, but I don't understand some of the things you're saying. I just couldn't give you anything stronger. And even now, you still have to be fed on milk. How embarrassing. Come on, guys. Come on. You still have to be fed on milk? Why? For you are still only baby Christians. And now once again, we see the characteristic of a baby Christian. What is the characteristic of a baby Christian? We see it for the second time. Controlled by your own desires. Your own desires. And that's why when people worm themselves into churches, they appeal to the baby Christians, because the baby Christians still operate on their own desires. And we that are a little bit more mature can identify this a mile away. But you can't do anything about it. You can let the chips fall where the chips are going to fall. Some time ago, I gave instructions to some folks. And they never did it. And I asked, why did you not do it? They said, well, I believe the Lord wanted me to do this way. Now, I've had that with even teaching. And what I appreciate from our folks that I use here with teaching, all of them, whenever I ask them to teach or do a Bible study, they will always ask me, what do you want me to teach on? Now, I appreciate that. I say, I'm not going to choose. You choose. You choose. But you always have incidents where you will give instructions to somebody, and at the spur of the moment, they will do it their way. And I'd call the folks in. Why did you do this? Why didn't you follow the instructions? Well, I believe the Lord wanted me to do it this way. I said, do you know what you've just done? You've become disobedient. I'll tell you why you become disobedient. Because if you go to the book of Hebrews, you will find, obey those that are spiritually over you. You will have your chance to do it your way. But when I ask you to do something, there's a reason for it. And as the spiritual father, as the spiritual leader, I would like you to carry that out. Unless you want to keep on disobeying, because the Bible says in Hebrews 13, 17, somewhere around there, obey your spiritual leaders. Or another translation, obey those who are over your spiritual leaders that are over your soul. So we look at this and we say, you know what? I find something very similar here, for you are still only baby Christians controlled by your own desires. Now, are my own desires in conflict with God's desires if I'm still a baby? And then he gives an example. You are still controlled by your own desires, not God's. For instance, and I'm giving you an example, Paul says, when you are jealous of one another. Wow. Do you have that within Christianity? Absolutely. The church is just made up of sinners. When you are jealous of one another, and notice, and divide up into what? Oh, I'm from Paul. Oh, no, I'm from Apollos. Oh, no. I laugh at these things nowadays because this isn't my first rodeo. It's about the 46th rodeo already. Up into quarreling groups. Now, notice what he says. Those two examples prove, doesn't that prove that you are what? And what do babies want? Their own way. And that's why you parents know exactly what I'm talking about. Because your little infants at times will throw tantrums when they can't get their way. They don't like the food you give them, all over your face. Mothers, you know all about that. Doesn't that prove that you are still babies wanting your own way? Now notice, look at the thought pattern. Not only wanting your own way, in fact, you are acting like people, like who? Who don't belong to the Lord at all. So what's the difference between a baby quarreling, causing division, than a person that's not even saved? Not much. So this is the question then. What's your plan of action? Do you want to remain a baby and go through this cycle over and over and over? Or do you want to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ and reach higher heights? Galatians 3, verse 1, 3, and 4. Oh, I never said this. This Bible says it. You stupid people. You stupid people of Galatia. Once again, here in Galatia were Christians that were babies and never grew in their Christian faith. And people wormed themselves into the church, and you stupid people of Galatia, who put you under an evil spell? Wasn't Christ Jesus' crucifixion clearly described to you? Why are you doubting that? Are you that stupid? Oh, he'll fit right into churches today. Are you that stupid, telling the Christians? Why are you allowing this kind of conversation within your church? Why are you accommodating this kind of thinking? Why are you accepting that which is contrary to the word of God? Don't you know what has been told to you? Did you begin in a spiritual way only to end up doing things in a human way? Human way, the natural having your own way. Did you suffer so much as a Christian? Did you suffer so much for nothing? Because of this you suffered? No. You never suffered for this modern teaching. You suffered because of the truth. Did you suffer so much for nothing? I doubt that it was for nothing. So now we find the consequences and the results of not growing in Christ is quarreling, fighting, dividing, having your own way, throwing your tantrums when you can't have your own way, instead of growing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the scriptures we use quite around here as well, and even with our music team and other leaders, make room for each other's mistakes. Everyone makes mistakes. Make room for that. The Bible says accommodate that. But let me give you one more scripture before we go on and proceed with Jude. Ephesians 4, verse 12, 13, and 14. Why is it that he gives us these special abilities to do certain things best? It is that God's people will be equipped to do better work for him. Notice, blue, building up. What did Jude say? Build yourselves up. Building up the church. Nikki, just go back one quickly again. I want you to look at the red and the blue. It is that God's people will be equipped. Red, you got the tools. You got all the tools. The Bible says that the pastors are here to equip you to do God's good work. So I'm here to give you the tools. Because the church is made up of people. And it says, will be equipped to do better work for him, building up what? Building up? Who's the church? So what's your job? Build up the church. Build yourself up. Build the church up. Individual responsibility, corporate responsibility. But what is the church? The body of Christ. That's why the word says, if I harm you, who do I harm? I harm him. Why? I'm a member of the body of Jesus Christ. He's the head, I'm the body. Now notice, building up the church, the body of Christ, to a position of strength and maturity. What has happened here now? You've gone from infant, baby, to maturity, building up the church, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Until finally we all believe alike about our salvation. That's the faith you're building on. You're building on that salvation. And about our Savior, God's Son, and all become what? Full grown in the Lord. That's the goal. That's your goal. That's my goal. We start as infants, babies. We're growing through those teenage rebellious years. And then you get to the 30s, 40s, 50s, or whatever. And then you learn like Paul, I've learned to be content. And that takes quite a long time. Full grown in the Lord. Yes, to the point of being full of Christ. Now, this is the important part. Once I grow out of that infancy, the babyhood, teenagehood, get into the position of maturity that I can discern and decipher the scriptures, notice what it says. Once I've become fully grown in the Lord, then when? Only when I've accomplished the previous one. Then we will no longer be like what? What happens to these immature children? Notice. Forever changing our minds about what we believe. Whoa. Because someone has told us something different. Oh, Nikki, go back again for me, please. I like that she went on, but my mind's running and I want to share. Then we will no longer be like children, forever changing our minds. You know, I've got an old phrase, what's the use of a mind if you can't change it? As long as it's changing for God stuff. Forever changing our minds about what we believe. Believe about what? Let's go to the next one. Thanks, Nikki. Because someone has told us something different. And that's exactly what Jude was writing about. These false teachers came in and started to contradict what was taught, causing division. And these Christians were still in the position of possibly baby Christians. And they were listening. Oh, once you're saved, you can do just as you please. Because someone has told us something different. Be careful of people telling you something different unless you can digest it. And if you can't digest it, speak to somebody that's been on the road a little longer and knows the word of God. Because someone has told us something different, or what? Oh, come on, Christians don't lie. Or do they? Or has clearly lied to us. Now notice the deception. Notice what Judas says. They have wormed their way in. It wasn't instantaneous. They got the confidence of the people. And once they got the confidence of the people, they can announce their teachings that are different. And this is exactly what's happened. What do we know in Ephesians? Or has clearly lied to us and made the lie sound like the truth. A baby Christian struggles with that. That's why don't believe everything you hear. Study it. Research it. We need to follow Jude's advice. Build yourselves up in the most holy faith. Build upon your Christian belief. The believer's resource, of course, is to stay close to the Lord and live in an unbroken fellowship with Him. But how do we stay close? How do I pursue this plan of mine growing in the Lord Jesus Christ? Every one of you, how do I set this plan up? What do I want to accomplish? Do I want to stop using diapers and get out of my diapers so that I can dress like an adult, behave like an adult? How do I get there? by having a plan. And now, I want to stay close in an unbroken fellowship with him. How do I do this? Well, Jude gives a little bit of advice. The first advice is build yourself up on your most holy faith. So now I've got to look at the process. This is what I believe the Bible says, and I've got to elaborate on that which I believe, the Christian faith. Build yourselves up by studying and obeying the word. So now I've got to study the word. I've got to obey the word. I've got to obey my spiritual leaders. Now notice, one of the things that is very important to me, and I'll present it to you this morning. For a child of God, it is important for a baby Christian. You know what I appreciate about families, particularly those of a larger family? My mother, I think she had 11 kids. When I look at the folks that got larger families, the older kids help with the younger kids, raising them up and doing all the odd jobs and eventually taking responsibilities of mom and dad because the older ones can help out. And now I find we are similar in the church. We've got older Christians, not in age, but in maturity. And those older Christians has a what? A responsibility towards the younger Christians. You look at these younger Christians today, particularly we look at our teenagers in particular, how the teenagers are involved in just worshiping God. But we need to rally around them and teach them more in the word of God so they will never lose that growth, growing into maturity. But one thing we do recognize, and that we have it over here, but we've got to enlarge on it, is fellowship with each other. Now, we do have a lot of fellowship. We have fellowship downstairs. In the week, we got fellowship. There's fellowships running all over, groups getting together, doing their thing. And it's not only just Bible study. There's social events. But you're building that camaraderie. We find that we've got to encourage other believers and stay unified within the faith. Be alert, and this is my saying to you, I would like to present to you this morning, be alert not to trivialize your gathering together on Sundays. In other words, don't just take this morning service for granted. Don't. Don't water it down. Being together yet this morning is a vital part of you growing up in the Lord Jesus Christ. Vital part. You're hearing the word, you're inspired by the singing, we're having fellowship downstairs. And the reason I'm asking you to be alert, not to trivialize attending Sunday services, is because of Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 to 26, in the New International Version, let us unswervingly hold on to what? What's the hope that we profess? What's the hope that we profess? The salvation. Jesus Christ is Lord. The resurrection of Christ. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, do not sway to the left. Do not have it settled in your mind. Don't let anybody influence you. And let us consider how we may what? Well, you know by now that Bob Allen doesn't believe in that. He believes in stirring people up. Let us consider how we may spur one another or stir on towards what? Love? Nikki, go back again, please. Let us, who's us? The church, the body. Let us consider how we may stir one another. One another. Me only? No. Body. How we can spur one another on to do certain things. What are the certain things? Love and good deeds. Love and good deeds. Now, verse 25 is the one we're getting to. Let us not giving up meeting together. When do we meet? Sundays, Wednesdays, Thursdays. Epic every second Friday. And throughout, there's always something going on. There's discipleship going on. But notice this. Let us not give up meeting together as... Who's the sum? Other brothers and sisters. So if you sit here quickly and you look around, do you notice somebody missing? Well, do something about it. Do something about it. Spur them on. But let us, as some are in the habit of doing. What's the habit? Not going to church. Why not? Excuse. And eventually, a habit becomes a what? A routine. As some are in the habit of doing. But let us encourage. Oh, I love this, guys. Let us encourage one another to do what? To get together. To be together. Because whether we like it or not, we are family. I never chose you. You never chose me. You stuck with me whether you like it or not. I'm your brother whether you like it or not. God called me into the family. God called you into the family. But let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. Oh, calamity is coming. Jesus is coming. We are entirely responsible for our spiritual development. Keep an eye on yourself. That's what Judy's saying. Build yourself up. Keep an eye on yourself. Now, when I tell you this morning, hey, I want you to keep an eye on Jackie. Let's use Jackie now. She's sitting in front. When I tell you to keep an eye on Jackie, what would you think I'm inferring? What do you think I'm saying? Keep an eye on Jackie. I want you to go with Jackie, but keep an eye on Jackie. What do you think means? It means? Tell me. Keep an eye on Jackie. Make sure she's safe. Make sure she doesn't get out of hand, which she's capable of doing. I'm teasing Jackie now. Okay? Keep an eye on Jackie. You protecting her? Make sure she doesn't get up to mischief. Make sure she's safe. And return her safe. That's what Judy's saying. Keep an eye on yourself. That you don't go off course. That you stay on course. Keep an eye on yourself. The second step that we find in Jude, and I'm just running through my times up. The second step is praying in the Holy Spirit. Guided by the Holy Spirit, some say praying in tongues, praying according to the will of God. And I want us to go back as we wrap up Jude. Verse 21 again. Then again, believers are to what? Keep themselves in the love of God. Guard and keep yourselves in the love of God. Notice the responsibility. Where's the responsibility? There. Individually. Guard and keep yourselves in the love of God. In other words, keeping yourself in the love of God is doing what God loves. Pleasing Him. Pleasing Him. That's how you keep yourself in the love of God. Somebody, and I found this quote, the love of God can be compared to the sunshine. The sun is always shining. But when something comes between us and the sun, we are no longer in the sunshine. That's the way it is with the love of God. It's always beaming down on us. But if sin comes between us and the Lord, then we are no longer enjoying His love in practice. We've got to keep ourselves in the love of God by doing what God wants us to do. Finally, we should eagerly look for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Summing it up in Jude 1:21. And this is what he says. Guard and keep yourselves in the love of God. Notice. Expect and patiently wait. There's an insinuation in the green. For the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. What is the insinuation? The return of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's referring to. Which will bring you unto eternal life. But I thought I've got eternal life. Well, yes and no. We haven't got our glorified bodies yet. And that's the completion of the eternal life. And the mercy of our Lord refers to his imminent return. Concentrate on developing your spiritual life. In other words, as we started off, I end before I give you two examples. Build yourselves up. Would you take this moment to contemplate action? How am I going to do it? I'm going to start reading the word. Start reading the word systematically. I would encourage every one of you. Start this week. Start today. Start with the book of Matthew. Many people say start with the book of Acts. Start with the book of John. Start with the book of 1 Timothy. No, no. Let's start. Would you today start an action? Start with Matthew chapter 1. The first chapter is going to blow your mind. It's just begat, 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 and all kinds of stuff. Go through it. Go through the lineage of Jesus. Get through the book of Matthew. What you're doing is a daily plan. But somehow, you're going to take something out of that daily plan reading and study it. In other words, put more effort into it and research. It sounds like a lot of work. It is. But it's worth it. It's worth it. Let me tell you why it's important to build yourself up. As I conclude. And there's two things I'm going to share with you that solidifies this teaching this morning. One is from Christian or Christianity. The other one is from the world. And you need to be able to discern, decipher, and recognize what is going on. I want to see if I can call this one up. Televangelist. Listen to this. Is it possible for a television evangelist, that is quite well known, to kind of present this to the church? And many Christians are swallowing this stuff hook, line, and sinker. Televangelist says, demons harvested her eggs to create a hybrid child. People are so intrigued. Christians are so intrigued by this. And I'll tell you why. Because they're believing something is coming our way in the form of hybrids. Subhuman, sub-demon. And they're preparing for this through this kind of thing. Televangelist says demons harvested her eggs to create hybrid child. But that's not even her most shocking claim. The person's name, I'm not going to give it to you. Wild story about lifelong egg harvesting and a hybrid named Starbust leaves this one TV station agreeing that aliens are demons and highly skeptical of the rest. Televangelist whose show Healing Your Soul is on Faith Broadcasting Network, recently made a claim that turned a lot of heads. Earlier this month on her YouTube channel, so-and-so said, let's go, Sousa said, that the reason she and her husband are childless is because when she was a young girl, aliens, which she views as demonic and fallen angel beings, implanted an interdimensional device in her that harvested her eggs over her lifetime. She says the beings used those eggs to create a hybrid child named Stardust. This is info. You know what my response is? And you're going to think it's a curse word, but it's not. BS. It's not a curse word. It's actually a carpet cleaner called Bullshot. You can buy it at Walmart. It's an excellent foam that cleans chairs. It's called Bullshot. This is Bullshot. shot. The phone that cleaned. So don't leave this building now and say, Pastor, use the cuss word. No, I use the brand that you can buy at Walmart called Bull Shot. They show you the can, you stand and you spray, and it cleans. This is what is permeating churches today. Is it time to grow up? Is it time to get off milk? Last one. It's time to go eat. The Satanic Temple Band released a music video depicting abortion rituals in Hobby Lobby bathroom. It's hit the YouTube now. It's hit the media. I don't know how many of you just saw yesterday or day before, a father of three, all the boys are under the age of 10. The father of three lined all three his boys up and took his rifle and executed all three boys because God told him to do it. There is so much God telling me that I've become allergic to that. God telling me. Every person that I come across nowadays has some fantasy or some revelation of God telling them certain things. I want you to please take the advice from Jude this morning. Build yourselves up. Get acquainted with the Word of God. Don't believe everything out there. The same thing, and I'll close with this. October's coming up. Please be aware to not participate in Halloween stuff. Please be. I'm not telling you what to do. That stuff is demonic, and you don't need it in your life and your child's life. The roots are demonic. Now, some of you, well, that's the last time I'm coming to this church. It's okay. Calm down. Be careful. Focus on that which is wholesome. Focus on that which is healthy. Focus on that which is good, because you're transitioning from drinking milk to eating solid meat called steak. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the service.